What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Yes.
Like clockwork, baby.
Just like a broken clockwork.
Just like a broken clock.
That's fine.
That's how we feel at the end of this year here, because we're finishing up D2.
Today was the very last day that we will see each other in person as D2s. It's pretty exciting, really.
Well, some people have patients this Friday. But
oh, lame. Not me.
Yeah, couldn't have been me. They said, schedule something complex. Get the training in. I said, exactly. No, I'll get all the training I need D3
here. That's right. Marco, yeah. Did you do anything fun today?
I got high.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just another average Wednesday for Marky.
Yep, Wednesday morning. Got high.
What'd you get high?
Our own supply.
Oh! Today was the very anticipated day of nitrous lab.
Yeah, there's two big milestones D2 year. You do stab lab, so that's exactly how it sounds, you know, giving each other local anesthesia, so stabbing each other in the face. So this lab was a lot more pleasant. You go in and you learn how to administer nitrous oxide to each other. So if you choose to do so, you let it run for a little bit and you get the full effects. Clayton will have it this afternoon.
I can't wait. Yeah, Marco went this morning and then I have it around 3 o'clock today, so here in the next 2 hours or so. It's my turn, and I hope I don't tell all of my secrets or all of Emily's secrets at that.
you'd get in more trouble for the latter.
It would be so bad.
Oh, dude, in regards to our last podcast, the dating one, I had so many old flings reach out. They were like, thanks for not mentioning me. And I'm like, who are you?
I don't even know what your name is anymore.
Yeah, Lauren listened to the whole thing. She was like, I know you talked about me. And I'm like, yeah, I got in a little bit of trouble, but it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. We're moving on to a better topic. Still kind of controversial topic, though, besides Marco's dating life.
Oof. We need to put the disclaimer in here, though, before we get started. So we are not medical doctors. I mean, Clayton's a nurse, but still, we are not your medical doctors.
We don't know your medical history.
We don't know who you are. I mean, we generally know who you are.
Yeah.
Probably pre-dental, or you just like the sound of our voices.
Yeah. Probably not, though.
But anyways, please go talk to your primary care physician before you get the vaccine or seek any sort of medical or dental treatment.
Don't go get the vaccine because the hosts of the Pre-Dental Podcast told you to. Do your own research, talk to your doctors, but don't do it because we're advising you to, because, I mean, we think it's a good idea. We'll get into that, but don't do it just for us.
Right. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you know, we're always here to help. However, we do need to preface that with, this is not official or legally binding medical advice. We are just two dudes on a podcast.
That's right. That's it.
Go talk to your doctor. But we are going to tell you all the great things about the vaccine and why we believe it's a good thing.
That was actually an alternative name, Two Dudes in a Podcast. It was almost that instead of the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Right.
So, three different vaccines available in the U.S. right now. Most of y'all know what they are. They're Moderna, Pfizer, and everyone's favorite for some reason, Johnson & Johnson.
Is it everyone's favorite, though?
People love it. People talk about it all the time. They will come to the vaccine clinic, even if they're getting Pfizer or Moderna, and they'll be like, y'all giving J&J? It's like they know who J&J is. It's like, yo, you got J&J? No. Like, why? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's one shot and done, so I mean, people like that.
I think that's where the main thing is, because with Moderna, it is two different vaccines. Oh, and to preface what Clayton was saying, he administers the vaccine, you know, because he's a nurse.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
to
say that.
In case anyone was confused there, he actually works for a hospital part-time, but we'll get into that here in a little bit. But anyways, Moderna is two different shots, and they are 28 days apart. And then you have Pfizer, which is also two shots. And those are 21 days apart. Those are the shots that we got, actually, at the dental school.
Yeah.
And then J&J, like Clayton was saying, is a one and done.
And with the Moderna and Pfizer, they're both recommended at like 28 days and 21 days. But you can get them 20 days or 22 days. So they have ranges. So if you're getting your second dose and you're like, oh my goodness, it's not exactly 28 days or it's not exactly 21 days, they do have ranges. So, I mean, it's not exactly 28 or exactly 21. It's just around that.
Yeah, and I think there is some level of effectivity whenever you get the first dose. So it's not like it's just chilling there waiting for the second one.
Right.
But you're not getting the full effect until the second one. And we're actually seeing that with some Americans who got the first dose and then for whatever reason just never came back for the second one. And now they're actually contracting COVID or at least are more susceptible to it.
And a lot of people have the question of what is in the second dose that isn't in the first dose. They're the exact same dose. Exact same dose, exact same everything in them. It's just getting more of it. Because if you got, you know, the first and second dose of Moderna and Pfizer at the same time, that's really overwhelming to your immune system. And you're going to have a much greater reaction if you're going to have one than just splitting them in half. So it's not two different vaccines. It's the exact same vaccine, just split in half.
Right. And J&J is one vaccine. So I know there's been some concerns. The CDC pulled it for a few days with the blood clots. But in order to provide statistics on that, you are more likely to get in a car crash than you are to develop a blood clot from J&J. If you're on birth control, you are much more likely to develop a blood clot than you are from J&J. I don't think it's probably the same as like getting attacked by a shark.
Yeah, it was very low.
Yeah,
I don't remember the exact
percentage. Or a Sharknado, getting stuck in a Sharknado.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So,
Pfizer's been in the news lately because they were one of the first ones to offer it to younger individuals. So Pfizer now, if you are 12, I don't know if we have any 12-year-olds listening to the podcast, but if you are 12 years old, you are able to receive the vaccine now. And some people do have some concerns about that with how young people are getting it, but we'll discuss some more concerns here in just a little bit.
Right. And people wonder, you know, like, oh, like they came up with this vaccine way too soon. Like, no, they've been doing research on mRNA for over 17 years. And I think this is going to catapult us into a lot of greatness into the future. So I know they're now shifting their efforts onto an HIV vaccine.
Yeah.
And they found one in preliminary studies that's been working. So I think moving forward, you know, like I know PrEP for HIV is extremely expensive. So we're going to find more cost-effective alternatives to medications like that to keep people safe, because ultimately that's what medicine is supposed to do. It's either supposed to heal you and make you feel better, or it's supposed to prevent bad things from happening.
Exactly.
So they've been doing these studies for a very long time. And I will say, I actually went and looked at the CDC data on Moderna and Pfizer and the populations that they did the trial groups on, and they were nearly identical to American population. So percentage wise, so let's say America is 15% African-American, 60% Caucasian, 5% Hispanic or Latino, 5% Asian, like somewhere around that, whatever those percentages were for America, that was mirrored in these studies.
Which is good. I mean, because we want an accurate and reflective comparison of our population, because if they're only testing white people, then that's not going to be good for everybody. So it's good that they're comparing everybody and getting results for everybody. That way we know everybody is safe.
Right. And these vaccines are extremely effective, but Johnson & Johnson is a little bit lower.
It is. So J&J, it's like 66, 67%. Which is still much better than 0% from not getting the vaccine. So if you are worried about Moderna or if you're worried about Pfizer, J&J's fine. I mean, it's still much more effective than not getting the vaccine at all. It's still going to protect you. And I think the big thing that they were emphasizing about J&J is how it prevents you from having a serious reaction to COVID. So even if you do contract COVID with J&J, it's still going to be much less serious than if you would have never received it in the first place.
Yeah, at least if your body has some antibodies in its system, then you're going to be able to fight it off better, because your body's going to at least have somewhat of an idea of what's going on versus being completely blindsided. And I'll tell you what, as being someone who was completely blindsided, you can listen to one of our previous podcasts where I talk about my COVID experience. Yes. And it was awful, just absolutely brutal. And if there was something that I could have done to make my experience better as far as like not feeling quite as awful and deathly, then I would have liked to have done it. So I think, you know, J&J is a very good alternative there.
I mean, I think a good way to have made yourself feel better is just to simply not have caught COVID to begin with.
I got it from my roommate, and he had very mild symptoms, and he didn't even know he had it. But I think, you know, earlier on, that was just the importance of testing, and, you know, yeah, he didn't go get tested. But, you know, he just thought he was having allergies, because that's what happened to a lot of people, is that it was around allergy season and they didn't tell the difference. So with all that being said, if you're going with Moderna or Pfizer, be sure to get your second dose, because you're not fully vaccinated until you actually 2 weeks after you get your final dose, because it takes about 14 days for those antibodies to build up in your system and for your body to, you know, fully develop a reaction to this. But J&J is still better than nothing.
Definitely. And make sure to make plans to get your second dose at the same location that you got your first dose. Because if you don't, it really complicates the entire process for the facility and everybody else. Because the way that they allocate the vaccines, you know, if they have the first dose, then they also get the second dose for that patient. So you need to make sure that you're going to the same location. We had a question at the clinic yesterday, at the vaccine clinic, and somebody was going out of town for like, I don't know, six or seven weeks. So they weren't going to be able to get their second dose. Can they get their second dose somewhere else? Probably. It's just going to complicate it for them, and it's going to complicate it for the facility. So try to make plans to get your second dose at the same location.
Right. And I think the one of the biggest concerns, you know, that now that we're going to try and venture off into that, is people are worried about the potential side effects, that they don't want to get the vaccine because they don't want to get sick. And while, yeah, you may have some side effects, I can tell you before we even get into those, that the side effects that you are going to get from the COVID vaccine are nothing compared to COVID itself. Like, I'm telling you, if you feel sick for like a day, maybe after the vaccine, like, sure, you're going to have that, but it is much better than getting the actual virus and just feeling deathly ill. Like, I've done both. I felt both. My body just reacted poorly to both, but the vaccine was not near, like, not even a tenth as bad as what actual COVID was.
So the normal reactions that we've seen, majority, so first dose, usually first dose, if you haven't had COVID, is just going to be a sore arm. So kind of like the flu shot, a little bit worse than the flu shot, your arm's going to be sore, whichever one you get it in. Second dose, again, if you haven't had COVID, kind of achy. So kind of flu-like, a little bit achy, maybe a little bit feverish, but nothing too severe. If you've had COVID, kind of what we've seen, the first dose is going to be the one that's a little bit more rocky for you. So that's going to be the one that you feel a little bit more achy. Your arm may be sore as well, but the second dose, usually you're fine. So it's just the way that you probably still have antibodies in your system from when you had COVID. So you're getting even more antibodies when you get the first dose. So you're just kind of having that second dose reaction just a little bit early. But again, like Marco said, the reactions, nothing, I haven't had COVID, but nothing compared to the people that I've seen who have had COVID. So definitely still get it.
Yeah. You know, and some uncommon side effects, you know, you might develop a rash, but you could take a Benadryl for that. You know, you might develop like achiness and soreness. I would just take Advil or ibuprofen and, you know, drink some zero sugar Gatorade. That's what I did. Like, I woke up and I described it as I felt like two people came up and beat me up in the middle of the night. Because like I was just laying in bed and I was just so tired and achy. But, you know, I made myself get up. I drank a large glass of water, got some ibuprofen in my system, and then drank a Gatorade or two. And, you know, by the time that like the afternoon rolled around, I was, you know, not 100%, but I felt fine and I was able to go about my day. I didn't have any respiratory issues or things like that, but, you know, some people may. I don't really think respiratory issues is a side effect.
No, the only way usually if you're going to have respiratory issues is if you're allergic to something in the vaccine. And the vast majority of people are not allergic to anything in the vaccine. A lot of people are much more allergic to the flu vaccine because the way that they make the flu vaccine is with eggs and things. So if you have an egg allergy or anything like that, then you'll have a reaction. But it doesn't seem like there's hardly anyone that's allergic to the COVID vaccines, which right. is very good.
You know, you might get a headache, things like that. But a lot of those side effects can also be caused by other things. So, you know, the first question I ask people when they say, oh man, I have a headache, it's like, well, like, how much water have you drank today? Like, you're probably just dehydrated to an extent.
Right.
Or like, oh, I feel achy and I feel like lethargic. And it's like, oh, well, like, when's the last time you ate a full meal? Like, you're probably, I don't want to say malnourished, but like, you're probably deprived of nutrients because you're not eating throughout the day. Like, you need to be doing the small things right to take care of your body in order for it to take care of itself and for you to heal.
Exactly. I think I've probably given around 500-ish vaccines now, and I've seen probably 3,000 people, 3,500 or 3,000 people get vaccinated, and you have to wait 15 minutes after you get your vaccine just so we can monitor for any side effects. And with those 3,500 people that I've seen get the vaccine, none of them have had any reactions whatsoever. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I haven't heard of any serious reactions with any of them. Like Marco and I were talking about, J&J, they had some concerns about blood clots and things, but it was very, 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 very small percentage.
Yeah, you go to a gas station and buy a scratch-off ticket, and you're like 10 times more likely to win on that than you are to have a side effect with J&J.
Yes.
But Clayton, why don't you elaborate a little more on administering the vaccine, like how you got into that and what your experience has been and, like, you know, your conversations with people.
So y'all may not know this. Marco knows this very well. But I'm a cheapskate. I love to make money. Sometimes I love to spend money, but I'm a cheapskate. I love to make money. So I'm always looking at ways to do so. So I created a LinkedIn because I'm a cool cat. I created a LinkedIn a couple of months ago, and I've always been looking at the nursing jobs and seeing what's available. And a couple of months ago, there was a job pop up, and it was for a COVID vaccine administrator. And I was like, I can administer vaccines. I mean, how hard can that be? So applied for it. Guy called me. We did a 37-second phone interview. I was offered the job, and the rest has been history. So the only thing I had to do for training was just show that I could give IM injections, so intramuscular injections, and I've done that a few times in my career. And so I pretty much work at a bunch of different locations. So it's for one facility here in Louisiana, so it's for Ochsner, but I can float around at pretty much any facility that needs vaccine administrators that day. So I've worked at two different clinics. One is inside where the patients just come inside. It's like an assembly line, and we just get them in and get them out, give them the vaccine, have them wait 15 minutes, and then they're gone. And the one that I've worked at more than that is a drive-through vaccine clinic. So people just stay in their cars. They can drive through. We take their history, check them in, and then give them their vaccine in their car. And then they just drive around to a parking lot and wait 15 minutes. Which has been really good. The only bad thing about that is it's outside, so when it's pouring down rain, it's pretty miserable. But like I said, I've given probably around 500 now, and I've seen at least 3,500 people get vaccinated. So that's been good. The other good thing about it is in nursing, you're not really appreciated that much. I mean, you are, but people are usually sick that you're taking care of, and they're just miserable and don't want to be in the hospital. But this has been a lot different because people are so thankful and so grateful to be getting the vaccine. So they're so appreciative of you as well. So it's been really inspiring. It's been really heartwarming to see how excited people are, especially the elderly, because some of these people, we've had many 70, 80-year-olds that come through the clinic. They haven't been out of their house in a year because they were so afraid about catching COVID. So now that they're getting this vaccine, they're literally getting their lives back because they can go outside of their homes. So it's been a heartwarming experience, and I definitely think you should go get the COVID vaccine.
Again, straight.
Not medical advice. Not medical advice. We're not your doctor, but
yeah, no, I think it's given a lot of people their lives back.
And, it is.
You know, it's been sad to see the statistics too on, you know, domestic violence and suicide and things like that because people just couldn't handle quarantine. And I'm glad that, you know, especially in the South, we're really returning to a sense of normalcy. I know they're lifting mask mandates left and right. Governor Abbott in Texas recently just signed an executive order that schools cannot enforce masks or anything like that. Like we're on the home stretch here, but getting into some concerns that people have with the vaccine, that it's kind of a double-edged sword, is that people are wanting to wait and see what happens. And I know people like this. I have people that are very close to me that are not getting the vaccine, even after I've had conversations with them, because they just want to wait and see what happens and see if there's long-term side effects with people.
And see if people turn into zombies or
exactly.
Something.
And part of that problem is that the effectiveness of the vaccine comes from a lot of people getting the vaccine. Like, you know, with like measles and mumps and whatnot, like we eradicated that. We eradicated polio because everyone got the vaccine. They don't work if not everyone gets them. So here's where I come with it, is that, you know, we're not your doctors. Like, we can't tell you whether or not to get the vaccine. And everyone has, you know, the freedom and liberty to make that decision for themselves. I just don't really see a reason why not to get it.
I don't either. And that's what I tell people all of the time. I mean, we thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have gotten the vaccine now, and they're still alive. They haven't turned into zombies yet. I haven't heard of any zombie cases yet.
No, unfortunately there's not.
Yeah, unfortunately not, but there's just not. I mean, so one of the big concerns, we had this concern yesterday, actually a lady came through and she was pregnant and she was nervous because she was like, can I get this still? I mean, is that still safe to do? And the answer is yes, absolutely. Because if you get COVID while you're pregnant, that puts you at much, 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 much bigger of a risk than getting the vaccine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've had classmates that got the vaccine when they were pregnant months ago.
Yep.
They were pregnant at the time, got the vaccine, and now have given birth
to beautiful babies.
Beautiful babies. And they're healthy. They're happy. There's nothing wrong. Like, they didn't come out with three arms. They
exactly.
They didn't come out looking like a potato. I mean, they kind of look like jelly beans when they're first born anyways.
Yeah.
But overall, like, there's really... The data is just not there to prove otherwise. And some people may say, well, like, I saw this article on Facebook, or, you know, my friend sent me this. And I'll tell you what, if it's on Facebook and it's, you know, downplaying it, it's got some major graphic on the headline, I don't like to use the term fake news, but it's not a good scientific source. You need to be reading like scientific articles or like something in a journal or things like that. You don't have to get into the mechanics or the pharmacology of any of it, but there's definitely a certain level of academia that this needs to fall under. And a Facebook article is not going to cut it, you know, because a lot of those are just clickbait and they're just trying to get you hooked. That way you spend more time on the advertisements and potentially click on those, and then they make money off of that.
It's been so bad. I mean, the misinformation has been the biggest battle with the vaccine, with getting it, with not getting it. There's just tons of it. And we have such great access to information, but we also have so much access to misinformation. And it's sometimes hard to tell the difference between what's real and what's just completely made up. So completely understand that there are people out there who are just confused because they've been reading this misinformation. But if you read actual journal articles, if you read actual information, then you can tell that it's safe. But you have to be able to differentiate the two. You have to be able to tell what's not good, what's not true. So, I mean, if your Uncle Joe, who was almost a doctor, you know, he almost graduated medical school, and he makes a Facebook post, and you really love your uncle. I don't remember what uncle. Jerry? Joe? Uncle Jay. Uncle Jay and Jay. If you listen to Uncle Jay and Jay, and, you know, he was almost a doctor, sounds like a really smart guy, and he just spouts off all of this absolute nonsense, and you believe it, you don't need to do that. Like, you need to do research for yourself. Like, you need to do research after you listen to this podcast to make sure we're not making stuff up.
Right. So, and, you know, science is a weird thing where sometimes it seems as though, like, there would be a logic to it that, like, oh, like, someone's explanation sounds logical. Like, for example, we'll talk about a science experiment here that, you know, back in like 15 and 1600s, they thought that, you know, if you left food out on the counter for a long time, that bugs appeared from that. And like, that's where some bugs came from. But they did some studies where they put that food in sealed containers, and yeah, sure, it rotted and whatnot, but lo and behold, there was no bugs. So sometimes something may seem logical in practice because we see it, but then you go to the actual science behind it and the experimentation, and it's not what you think it is. And, you know, you just need to be careful about that, and you need to get the facts straight, which is why it's important to read articles, especially if you're concerned about this. But at this point, millions of people across the country have gotten the vaccine. There's no microchips in it. That's another thing. Like, okay, if you're worried about microchips and the government tracking you, you literally walk around with a cell phone that is listening to you at all times, that tracks your location at all times, that has all your personal information, your passwords, your credit card, your social media accounts. Like, all of that is saved within your phone.
Yeah,
and you're worried about some liquid going into your arm that's potentially going to contain a microchip. Like, think about it for a minute.
It's literally, the phone is literally a microchip. Like, it's, we don't have to think if it's a microchip. No, it literally is, like, doing all of these things that you're worried about, yet you're still walking around with it. So that just...
Yeah. And then there was people that are wanting to have kids down the road. And, you know, before we really get into this one, you know, Clayton and I are both males, and, like, we're never going to get pregnant, at least, like, as far as carrying.
I'm not. Marco might.
But, like, as far as, like, carrying the child. So, for us, like, we may be coming from a different perspective on this, because I know some people that want to be moms really bad, yeah. And they don't want the vaccine because they don't want to jeopardize that. However, there's no science proving that. There was initially two doctors who said that one chemical in the vaccine could potentially cause a risk of infertility. However, those two doctors have now backtracked and said that they were wrong and pulled back their statements.
Well, and that's the thing too. I saw a Facebook post, I was trying to find it the other day, and it was a really good quote. It was said something about, like, the science wasn't wrong, you were wrong. So science isn't wrong. The science is always right. It's just the people who get the science wrong. So we're just continually learning more about everything. We're learning more about the vaccine. We're learning more about animals. We're learning more about the environment. We're learning more about each and every single thing every day. So it's not science that was wrong. It was the people that got the science wrong. So you just, like we've been saying, you just need to do research for yourself and go beyond the means of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or even Google. Like, look up some actual science articles and read them and make a conclusion for yourself.
Yeah, Google Scholar is great.
I mean,
that's tons of free stuff. PubMed is good. You can filter free articles on there.
If y'all need good articles, email us. We'll send you some good articles.
Yeah, email us, DM us on Insta. You know, like we said, like, we're not doctors, so everything we say you have to take with a grain of salt.
Right.
But we can point you in the right direction or answer any, like, general questions that you may have, or at least, like, you know, here's the CDC website. Here's this part that I think you should read. And, you know, once again, like, the side effects of COVID are far worse than any side effect you're going to get from the vaccine. Like, there are proven side effects already with COVID itself, whether that be cardiovascular issues or reproductive issues or pulmonary issues. But from the vaccine, we're just not seeing that.
And we, as medical professionals, have a responsibility. Those of you who are listening, who are going into dentistry or medicine or nursing or anything else, you have a responsibility. Don't go out and spread misinformation. Don't share the posts that are absolutely wacky. Share your story about how well the vaccine did for you, about how you didn't have any side effects. Share good things. Encourage people to go get the vaccine. You have a responsibility. We all do, as medical professionals.
Right. You know, ignorance is not bliss in this situation. You know, I've heard people who are in dental school that aren't getting the vaccine because,
well, I just don't know. I just don't really feel like it. I just want to wait and see. And it's like, I'm not trying to mock them. Like, that, sorry if that's the tone that's coming off, but just do your research and look at it. Like, at least if you're not going to get it, come up with an educated reason why.
Right.
But like we said, like, maybe they're just seeing something that I don't. But I just haven't seen any proof that the vaccine is a bad thing and that it has terrible side effects. At least, like, real proof. You know, like, obviously there's going to be false Facebook articles about how they're putting microchips in you and this is all a ploy by Bill Gates and
right.
all that stuff.
And one of people's favorite things to go to is, I never have gotten the flu vaccine, so why would I get the COVID vaccine? That's not an argument. Like, that's not a good argument in this case. Just because you chose not to get one vaccine, you probably got the mumps and the measles and the tetanus and diphtheria and all the other vaccines. So I just don't like that argument. Like, come up with an actual educated argument to argue. And I respect your opinions. If you don't want to get it, completely respect your opinion. But I would like to know about why you're choosing not to get it.
Right. And part of the reason why you should get it is not just keeping yourself safe, but, you know, keeping the world safe. Because part of the problem is that the virus is mutating. Like, we've already seen several different strands of it. And part of how the mutations work is that the virus finds susceptible hosts. So people who aren't vaccinated, you know, it's very, very, very rare that people who are vaccinated get the virus. Not that it doesn't happen, but it's very rare. But anyways, the virus is able to spread, and as it does, it mutates. So the idea is that if you vaccinate a lot of people very rapidly, then the virus will not have as many susceptible hosts, and it won't be able to travel as much, and therefore won't be able to mutate as much. Because the more we let it mutate, the less effective the vaccines are. So if people are getting the vaccines and they're getting them early, then it's not going to change as much, which means we're not going to have to develop new vaccines quite as quickly down the road. It keeps everyone who's gotten the vaccine safe, and hopefully it prevents us from getting a more dangerous strain of COVID out there, because that could be a possibility where the strain that we've had was pretty bad. You know, it killed a lot of people, but there could be strains that are worse down the road, and we're trying to prevent that.
Exactly. And I don't know about y'all, but I am so tired of wearing a mask. I've worn it the entire time, gladly, you know, to protect myself and to protect others. But that doesn't mean I'm not tired of wearing it. So the other day, Emily and I went into the grocery store. You know, they've lifted, the CDC says it's okay to not wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated. Walk in the grocery store. The grocery store says, we're complying with CDC guidelines. You don't have to wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated. We didn't have to wear a mask in the grocery store for the first time in over a year. And it was fantastic. And it felt so nice to be able to walk around without a mask on. So I'm just ready for that. So if getting vaccinated, if not having to wear a mask is your reason for getting vaccinated, hey, it's a good reason to me. I mean, it's a solid reason.
Right. So you got anything else?
I think we crushed it, really.
Yeah, I think that's it. Seriously, though, guys, like, this isn't coming from a place of judgment. It's coming from a place of love, and it comes from a place of caring. But get your damn vaccine.
Just do it.
Just go and get it. Like, talk to us if you have any questions, as always. Like, feel free to reach out. We'll get you in the right direction. But, like, do it for yourself. You know, if you're in dental school, if you're going to dental school, like, do it for your patients, because you need to keep them safe. Do it for your family, and do it for your country.
Just do it.
This is unfortunately not sponsored by Nike.
It's not, but
just do it.
We're trying.
So
we're trying.
Maybe one of these days. But anyways, this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Yeah.
Too easy.